Rebbe, I'll say last time, which was a few weeks ago before Hanukkah, we discussed Moder Rav Shimon Begrogus Vitzimukim, which is the Gemara Daf Mem Hayam and Aleph. And turning to Amit Beis, the Gemara discusses the case of Patzilei de Tamra. And Rashi points out that what's unique about Grogus Vitzimukim is that there's a double-barreled gun over here. Rashi says, on the fourth line down on Amit Beis, that Grogus Vitzimukim de'ika tarti. There are two dimensions. Number one, didachinu biyodayim. That's number one. And number two, it's also lo chazu, meaning it's not roi lachila. The bottom line is, as a result of this entire sugi of grogus vitzimukim, we have a situation of something that Rav Shimon is moda. It's like eitzim avonim. It's not a, it doesn't have a shem ochel, and that's what Rashi learns. The Rambam we mentioned last time. This is in Perek Chavav. Halacha Yedalid. The Rambam says that we paskin like Rav Shimon, but chutz migrogus v'tzimukim hoil umasrichos beintayim. So during the process of yibush, they get to a state of sirachon. The enom ruuyim lachila. Harein asurim b'shabes mishum muktza. So according to the Rambam, there's no issue of tarte over here, as opposed to Rashi. The Rambam doesn't introduce the element of dachinu biyadai. According to Rashi, we understand the Gemara's suffik about patzilei de tamra, because patzilei de tamra, which are tmarim anil kotim kodim bishulon v'konsumos of the salim, v'hein mizbashlos me'al lehen. Mi havi, should they be equated, mi modven Rav Shimon de mukta hein kegrogus v'tzimukim. Because here it's not dachinu biyadayim. According to the Rambam, it would seem, and this is what we had a discussion about last time, that the Gemara's suffik about patzilei de tamra is how unedible are they? Are they so unedible that they're like grogus v'tzimukim, or maybe they're not so unedible? But we said what we said last time. If you go vayta in the sugya here on daf mem hey amid beis, the Gemara discusses bali chayim. What's the discussion about Bali Chaim? So, there are two categories of Bali Chaim. There's Misukonim and Briyim. In the case of Misukonim, the Gemara says that there's no Isur Mukts in a Bal Chai, that's clear, because you can anticipate that the Bal Chai is going to become Ochel. It's going to become Roy Lachila.
It's not like a
trefa. Right, not a trefa, obviously. However, what do you do, or even if it's a treif, if it's edible for the dogs, okay. Right? No, can feed it to the dogs, right? However, what about Bali Chayim Briyim? So if you take a look at the Gemara vacillates on this point, and there are two opinions. According to one opinion, that's Mar Bara Meimar, Modo Ayurab Shimon v'Bali Chayim Shemesu Shasurim. So Rashi explains, Klomar bibriyim, since they're healthy animals, he has no way of anticipating that they're going to die. And shchit is an impossibility. So how will he use it in any way whatsoever? And therefore, Moder Rav Shimon v'balei chayim. However, Mar Bereid Rav Yosef, in the name of Rava, says, Cholek hoyer Rav Shimon afilu v'balei chayim shemesu. Shehem mutarim. That it doesn't matter what kind of Bal Chai you're talking about, if the animal's alive, it's not Mukta, according to Rav Shimon, whether or not it's Misukenes or it's a Bria. And this sugi I find very difficult. And I'll tell you why. Because if you turn back to the original sugi of Rav Shimon on Daf Mem Dalet Amid Beis, Mem Dalet Amid Aleph, excuse me, the Gemara says over there, Avolkos uka'ara vashishes lo yazizei mimkomo. These cases are certainly mukta. The Gemara goes back and forth, and finally the Gemara concludes, Liolam Reb Shimon v'kikashari Reb Shimon v'ner zuta d'daite iluye. So when you light the candle, when you light the shemen, you assume that midway through Shabbos, the shemen will become edible. It'll be extinguished. So it's royally, it's only lekibui in the middle of Shabbos. Avalhani, but these cases where he fills it up with a great vast amount of shemen, and he expects it to be lit the entire Shabbos, lo. Rav Shimon agrees that this is muktzah. Even though, again, as we've spoken about many times, in the case of ochel, Rav Shimon holds that although you need achana in ochlin, the ochel is considered mukhan me'elov, as long as it has a shem ochel to it. But you could have a case of an ochel, which even Rav Shimon agrees, is outside of the purview of hachana. Because hachana is established at Bein HaShemashos, B'Knisas HaShabbos. So you could say that according to Rav Shimon, if I lit a candle and the ner is doleg, but I anticipate in a regular ner zuta that it'll be extinguished midway through Shabbos, so even though I'm making a hachana for liachar zman, B'Knisas HaShabbos, I'm saying let this shemen be mukhan for afterwards, but that too is considered hachana. And why is that? Because the reality is that we have every reason to assume that the candle will extinguish itself midway through Shabbos, and I'll have the shemen. It'll be usable. It's accessible. I mean, what would be if, let's say, I was thinking the following case? Let's say I light a ner erev Shabbos, and then I go into your house, and I have no intention of coming back to my house. And then I changed my mind, I came back into my house. So when I left my house, as far as I'm concerned, I had no reason to believe or no anticipation that I would be enjoying this shemen. I left on a permanent basis. And then I come back. I decide to come back. So it seems to me that it's pshita in that case, it would not be mukta. In other words, what we're looking at is the reality. In the objective reality, we have an umdina de muchach that this shemen will be accessible. The fact that he may not use it or he doesn't intend to use it, that doesn't change the reality of the fact that it's omed lachana. But what happens in the case of a kara or a ner shebashishes? There's so much oil that there's no anticipation whatsoever that it'll be usable, it'll be accessible, that it'll be extinguished in the middle of Shabbos. So in such a case, you can't say there's hachana liachar zman. There won't be any liachar zman. There is no liachar zman. So that's the Gemara that Reb Shimon is moda, that in Oakland, I usually apply the principle of muchan me'elov. It's automatically muchan. But in certain circumstances where I can't imagine hachana, and I don't anticipate in any way that I'll be able to use it, even Reb Shimon is moda that you can't say it's mukhan me'elov, and it's mukhan. If this be the case, then in the case of Bali Chayim, which are Briyim, what logic is there to the Mandi Omer who says Choli Koy Reb Shimon afilu v'Bali Chayim? What's the difference between Bali Chayim and Ner Shebashishes? In both cases, I don't anticipate lachar zman that it'll be usable, and therefore I can't say achana lachar zman. Good? The question is clear? Should I just repeat it one more time? Again, there's one madhyama that says, mod Reb Shimon Bali Chayim. Rashi explains that since the Bali Chayim is bari, so I have no anticipation that I'm going to be able to enjoy any benefit from this animal. It's a live animal. What am I going to do with it? But the problem is that there's another Mandi Omer, and that Mandi Omer says Chol Koyer Pshimin Afilu Bali Chayim. Now, why would that be so? If you were telling me that there's an absolute halacha that if it has a shem ochel, it's not shayach to call it mukta if that's from Shimon Shita Nicha. But the Gemara says Beferish the Brisa Lehedja on Daf Mem Dalet at the beginning of the sugya that even Rav Shimon agrees that ochel can become mukta if there's no way of saying that it's mukhan. Again, it's not that you don't need hachana in ochlin. Even Rav Shimon agrees you need hachana in ochlin. We discussed this way back when.
Right? The Torah says, V'chinu es asher yaviu by man. So ochlin need hakana. Elo what the chiddush of Shimon is that I can always consider it muhan. The hakana is like built in. It's automatic. And even if right now it's not muhan because the ner doluk, but I anticipate that afterwards it will be muhan. So I can say that even now in Ben Hashmashas, B'knisa Shabbos, I anticipate to be muhan. So that sets up hakana meilov. But the Gemara says that in a case in which I can't anticipate that it'll be muhan, then I have no way of saying that it's muhan now, fully achar zman, and that's the case of ner, shemen shebekara. Why is Bali Chayim different than shemen shebekara? That's what I don't understand. Is that poil? Okay. So I wanted to think out loud with you about the status of a Bali Chayim. And we've been discussing three categories of objects. Number one, ochlin. Number two, kelim, kli tashmish. And number three, eitzim avonim are not ochlin, and they're not kelim. And that's called muktza, machmas gufo, machmas atzma, whatever you call it. Where do you put Bali Chayim into the picture? So, in order to answer this question, I want to raise perhaps even more fundamental question. If I would play an association game with you, and what do you associate with Issa Tilton? Or Issa Tavshus? So your answer should be, and will be, Mukta. But is there such a thing in Halacha as an Issa Tavshus, or an Issa Tilton, that's not predicated on Mukta at all? And I'd like to suggest that there might be an issue of Iser Tiltel or Iser Shtamshus that's not related to Muktzah. Obviously, I have to find the source for that. What's my source for that? So before I answer that question, I wanted to point out a Gemara on Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis. The Gemara on Daf Mem Vav Amid Beis, it's about 10 lines down, quotes a Mishnah in Sukkah. I'm sorry, a Mishnah in Beitza. And the Mishnah in Beitza quotes Rav Shimon, Kol She'ein Mumo Nikar Me'er of Yontif, Ein Zeh Min Amucha. So what's the case? The case is that you have a behemoth that's a bechor. It has kedushas bechor. And it has to be brought on the mizbeach. Unless it's a bal mum. So Rav Shimon says the following. If this bechor was clearly delineated as a bal mum, erev yontif, so then you're allowed to shecht it. And there's no problem of ishtamshus. But if ein mumo nikar, so in such a case, Rav Shimon says, ein ze min amuchan. Now, why is this behema mukta? Again, I'm misleading you here. I don't believe for one moment the behema is mukta. But I'm saying, can I prove from this Rav Shimon, one way or the other, whether a Bal Chai could be Mukta? I think you can. But what can you prove? That it's not Mukta because it's a Bal Chai. It's only Mukta because it's what? It's a Bechar. A Bechar is Hegdesh. And it's Limizbeach. So it's not the Mukta of classical mukta because of achana, lack of achana. It's mukta machmas iser hegdish. Correct? And therefore the only matir on that iser hegdish and that iser would be mum. But what I'm trying to point out is that b'taras bal chai, that's not enough to generate an iser. And this leads us to a different question.
Is there such a thing as an isur hishtamshus or tiltul that's not related to mukta? And I think I found something. You'll have to judge whether it's correct. I would like to throw it out in front of the chabura, and I want you to think about it. This is a sugya in Sukkah Daf Chav Beis, and Tos quotes at the beginning of Beitza in the sugya of Nolad about mechubar, peros mechubar. Now, if the peros fall off the tree on Yontif, so Tosas vacillates back and forth. He has 2 days. What would Rav Shimon say about the peros? According to one day in Tosas at the beginning of Beitza, Rav Shimon would be matir these peros. Why? Because even when they were mechubarim, Tosas says they were ruim lebehema. He could bring over his animal and have them eat the peros, even though they're mechubar. Therefore, when they fall from the tree, it's not mukta. But the Gemara says that kol zman they're on the tree, you're not allowed to move them, you're not allowed to use them in any way. So the question is, why? I mean, Tosas is saying that when they fall from the tree, according to that day in Tosas, Rav Shimon would be matir. Because he had in mind, even while they were mechubarim on Erev Yontif, that his animal could eat it. Maimid Odama Behemtal and Peres. So why is mechubar awesome? And the answer is, Rabos, I think it's clear, again, check me out on this, that the Iser mechubarim is not a mukta Iser. It sounds like mukta, it looks like mukta, but it's not mukta. It's a separate Iser mechubarim. For example, Rashi here in Beitza, with regard to Bechar, he has a very unique shita. Eino min amuchan. He says, Lav mishum mukta asole. The last layer of Shimon mukta. Elefisha matiro biyontif. If he would go ahead and turn it into a balmum on yontif, he's being matir. So what's wrong with that? Nire kimetakno. What does Rashi have in mind? Nirikim etakno? Makim epatish. So in other words, sometimes the Iser Ishtamshus is not related to Mukta, and we can get fooled by that. It's related to Tikkun. Or in the case of Mechubarim, it would be related to what? To the Iser of Kotzer.
When he says that, does he mean Makim epatish, or does he mean that you're going to create a monthly, and then
yeah, maybe that's what it is, but either way, it's not mukta. That's what I find fascinating. That's why I would suggest that the question of Balchai has nothing to do with mukta. Balchai is not category. It's not a category that's subject to mukta. There may be an Isur Tiltul, but don't call it mukta. The only thing is, and I have to admit that Lechora, it's difficult to suggest that in the case of Balchai it's not mukta, in the light of Tosis here, in the name of Rav Rabbeinu Yosef. Rabbeinu Yosef is a rare Bal Tosis. He appears here on Daf Mem Heyamid Beis. Dibra Maskel Hocha B'mayas Kinot. He says, Vadai Balichayim Muktaim Ki Grogos V'tzimukim. When he wants to explain to the Omer who says that Rav Shimon is Moder, that Balchai is Asur, he says it's Din of Mukta. Not only does he say it's Din of Mukta, but he equates it with Grogus V'Tzimukim, which we said that Grogus V'Tzimukim is Pakal Eshem Ochel. Right? Machma Sirachon, it's not edible. So what we're saying is that a Balchai is like Grogus V'Tzimukim. It doesn't have a Shem Ochel. It doesn't have a Shem Kli. And therefore, by default, a Balchai has the same status as Eitzim Avonim. That's Mukta Mamish. That's according to Rav Rabbeinu Yosef. Yeah, but that doesn't explain the other man, the Omar, who says that Cholak Hoyer Rav Shimon Afilu V'Balichayim, and he was Matir Balichayim. So that's why I would suggest an alternative shot, And again, I don't have any Rishon who says it beferish that Bali Chaim is not Muktzah, but rather it's a problem of Bali Chaim. Whatever you might do with the Bali Chaim, whatever it is that you might do, you might come to take a chutz l'tchum, you might shecht it, I don't know what you might do with it. So the issue about Bali Chaim is not a Muktzah issue. But you'll ask me, but why not? And it's not an ochel, it's not a kli. It should be muktzah like eitz and v'ofar. So I'm wondering out loud. This is an idea that maybe in the case of Eitzim Vavonim, which is Mukta Machmas Kufo, you could use it to make a kli. It lends itself to some sort of hachana down the line. Masheki Nabal Chai, the whole concept of hachana Nabal Chai is completely out of place. So you can go in one or two directions. The way that Rav Ben Yosef and Tos seems to go is that since it's not Shaya to be making it, therefore it's like Eitzim Avonim. Or you could go to the other extreme and suggest that since it's not possible to be making it, the whole concept of Hakana is inapplicable. And therefore it's not Mukt. So again, Rabosai, let's go back. If you have Ochlim, Ochlim requires Hakana. Even according to Rav Shimon, if the ochel will not be accessible, I don't anticipate, according to the reality, that it'll be accessible to me on Shabbos. Like, for example, the case of hashishes, then Rav Shimon is moda that what? That it's motza. So then, why Bali Chaim briim wouldn't Rav Shimon be moda? So what I'm suggesting is that Bali Chai is a category to which motza would never apply. It's like if you remember, we once suggested a quinter of Shimon, there's no mukta in a kli. A kli is mufka from mukta. Doesn't need achon at all. Only ochlin needs achon. You remember that, Smara? Elo, what if you mafkir the shem kli, then it becomes mukta quinter of Shimon. But as a kli, it can't be. So what I'm suggesting is that as a balchai, it can't be mukta. Why? Because mukta means that I had the possibility of being making it, and I didn't do so. But in the case of Al-Chai, what can I be making it for? So therefore I'm suggesting...
So because you can't be making it, it would become automatic, not mukta?
Then it becomes like a kli. It's like a kli.
Why should...
Mukta means that I was makatzit, right? I had a choice, and I was makatzit. In the case of Al-Chai, it wasn't pshat that I was makatzit, or I wasn't making it. It's
the possibility of being making
doesn't exist. It's in a category of its own. And therefore it's not shaykh to mukta. We have a sugya of the Issa Tiltul of Balchayim. That's a different Issa. That's an Issa like we find by Mechubar Lekarka, or we find an Issa Tiltul by Bechar, Bishum Tikkun, or whatever it might be. There are many other possibilities. Okay, that's what I wanted to suggest. Now, I want to move on. So again, Rabbis, I just want to point out one thing. And I think this is an important point. From the fact that Reb Shimon is Moda in Bechar, you see it's not Midin. You see that Bal Chai is not Midin Muktzah. It's only Midin Bechar. And that's why I think bothered Rashi over here. That's why Rashi says beferish over there in Beza. That's lav mishum mukta. So you see that Rashi and Behemah is not working with mukta kointer b'shim. And the Mishnah itself is almost mukach like that, even without Rashi, because otherwise, why does the Mishnah have to raise the issue of Bechar? And not do Bechar, but just say Balchai. The answer is midin Balchai. There would be no mukta. There's a possibility of an Issa Tiltul, but why isn't Bal Chai mukta? I mean, Rav Shlomo, it shouldn't be any better than Eitzim Avonim. Then offer the Eifer. Do you hear my kasha, man?
Yeah.
Why did the Mishnah? Why did the Mishnah pin it on Bukhar? So Rashi says Beferish. Rashi says because he's going like Rav Shimon. Lav Mishum Mukta Asarli. Very interesting. Not like Rav Yosef in Tosus, who equates it with Grogros with Tzimuk. Rashi says it's a whole different Yisra Balchai. Has to do with Tikkun. And even if not for Rashi, call it Mukta Machmas Yisra, but it's not Mukta Machmas Gufo. It's only Mishum Hegdesh, Mishum Bchor. Harayef, who is a Baal Mum, even Rav Shimon would be Makti. I don't know, it just seems to me that we're operating here Balchai with a whole new category. And it's not to be placed within the classic universal constellation of mukta, of categories of mukta. Now that's according to Rav Shimon. According to Rav Yehuda, I don't know. According to Rav Yehuda, the Rav Yehuda requires hachana in everything, straight across the board. Now Rav Yehuda never accepts this concept of something that's a category that's mufka from mukta. Because and we spoke about this at great length, that Rav Yehuda is the one who requires bukum vaseh, an act of being mechin. Not that I have to run around, as we pointed out, and be mechin something b'po'al, but it's as if I was mechin it. And if Rav Shimon, Rav Yehuda has muktz and kelim, so then I would assume that he should have muktz and balchai as well. Adrav, the fact that there's no point to be making this balchai, if it's out there in the wild, it's Baruch Hashem, a very healthy animal, so that's exactly why it's muktz according to Rav Shimon, according to Rav Yehuda, excuse me, because Rav Yehuda requires hachana in a positive sense. But according to Rav Shimon, who basically doesn't require hachana, or even in Ochlin where he does require hachana, the hachana is built in, but certainly in Kalim, he doesn't require hachana, because Kalim are mufka from mukta, so the concept of a category of objects in the universe that are completely excluded from mukta exists according to Rav Shimon, so then I can really wonder where this Balchai fit in. And from the fact that Rav Shimon only asks Balchai b'taras b'char, and Rashi says ein zimi din mukta, and from the fact that here now is suya daf mem hey, chole koyer Rav Shimon afilu balichayim, it means Rav Shimon basically took Balchai and equated it with Kalim, not with Ochlin. And just like a Kli, as long as it has a Shem Kli, is Mufka from Mukta, according to Rav Shimon. Is the Chabahim, as long as it has a Shem Balchai, is Mufka from Mukta. That's Cholokoy Rav Shimon Afilu Balchai. Alright, for your food for thought. I mean... Today we touched on mukta a little bit in the morning about the Beis Hashanol B'Zeh, Muteres B'Zeh. So I got in the mood for Nolad a little bit. So let's talk about Nolad. And what's Rav Shimon's view about Nolad? So the sugi at the beginning of Beitza, the very famous sugi of Nolad, vacillates back and forth. What would Rav Shimon say about Nolad? Even though Rav Shimon rejects mukta, but perhaps he would admit that Nolad is awesome. So Tosus, at the beginning of Beitza, Dibra Maskel Kasal Kedaitach, is Tosus has three categories of mukta. Excuse me, of nolad. Okay? So let's talk about Tosus's three categories of nolad. Number one. I wasn't here. He spoke about the three categories of nolad?
Talk about different categories.
Okay, so we'll talk about three categories of Nolad according to Tosus, and we'll try to see if we can fit it into the perspective and the concepts that we've been operating with in the past. Says Tosus, "Afil leman deshari mukta, even according to Rav Shimon, the Nolad asur, to lo maxi inish." my dechazi way. According to Rav Shimon, there's no mukta in anything that's roy. Havol benolad lo havi yoda meyesmo. So the category in which Rav Shimon is mode is where it didn't exist in the world yesterday. Okay? So we'll get back to that in just a second. Then Tosus goes on and says, V'teima da Rav Shimon d'shari b'mukta shari b'nolat. K'damrina b'shabes, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein masikir b'shivrei kelim. So you have a kli that broke on Yontif. Rav Shimon matir. Afal gav dahavi nolat. So Tos wants to know, what's the difference between Beitza Shenolda and Shivrei Kelim? Why is it that Rav Shimon would be modern in Beitza? And he would argue about Shivrei Kelim. And he'd be matir in Shivrei Kelim. Yeshlomar d'lo domi hai nolat d'hocha havi nolat tfe. Shemitchil lo hoya ba'olam. Aval chosam hakli hoya ba'olam rak shen nishba. V'chein mashma v'eruvin maya v'eva mivla bali uparach kol shkein dami nolat v'osam. Frank Toysvis umay parach v'dilma huk Rav Shimon Rav Shimon matim nolat elevadai hainu time capricious came into bali lo hoyu klal ba'olam v'afil Rav Shimon mode d'hai nolat osam. So we have category number one, Maya Be'eva Mivli Blali, which according to the Gemara in Erevin Mem Vav is the extreme case of Noah. Meaning it wasn't in the world at all yesterday. If it wasn't in the world at all yesterday, even Rav Shimon is Modin. Correct? So this is beautiful according to everything we've said. The Rav Shimon agrees that Ochlin need Hachana. So you have to make it. Even a Beitza has to be prepared. The Chiddush of Rav Shimon is that it's Muchan Me'elov. It's automatically Muchan. You don't need the Gavra to go ahead of making it. The Cheft itself is making his Atzmo. When? When is the crucial moment? Ben Hashmash is B'Knisa Shabbos. V'medvar Ba'murim, if it exists in the world. Then you could say it's making a saksma. It's mukhameil. But if it's not in the world at all, for example, Maya Be'eva, it's not in the world at all, that's where we know that that even Rav Shimon would be moda. You can't say it's mukhameil. So far, so good. Then you have the case where Rav Shimon is certainly matir Noah. What's that? That's the case of Shivrei Kelim. So we open up the Gemara to Daf Kuf Chav Dalet on the base in Shabbos. The Gemara records machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. I shouldn't say the Gemara, I should say the Mishnah. Shivrei Zchuchis is the Chachom HaMatir. Shayu Osim Me'ein Malacha. There's some sort of a Malacha, Me'ein Malacha that you can do with these Shivrei Zchuchis. For example, a Chassos Ben is Piyapach. Right? So you could use it as a cover. So it's a receptacle. Now it's broken. You could use it as a cover. Kavalid, Rabbi Yehuda Omer no, Ubilvad Shiyu Osin Me'ein Melachton. It's not enough to say that you can use it in some capacity, but it has to be used. It has to be usable Me'ein Melachton. For example, Shivrei Areva Lotzuk Lutochon Mikvah Shel Zchuchis Lotzuk Lutochon Shemen. Notice you can still use it as a receptacle. And the Gemara goes on to say, Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Machlokas Shenishbu B'Shabbos, the Mar Sovar Muchanu, Mar Sovar Nolanu, Avomer B'Shabbos, Tiviyakol Mutarim, Hol V'Huchnu L'Molochim Bodyom, right? You have a different girsa?
Sorry, you wrote the first line of the Mishnah and the Gemara?
No, it's line 10 or so. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Shmuel. A little bit further down, you see. That's the final version. So again, if it's Erev Shabbos, then so what difference to make if it changed? You could be making it now as a kavalid. So you have something that Erev Shabbos, the kavalid, it functions as kavalid. So even Rabbi Yehuda would be more than it's not mutz, correct? But what happens if it breaks on Shabbos? So Rabbi Yehuda says it's mukta. If it's not, may ain malachta. No, but the kasha is Ribbono Shel Olam. It's functional. You can use it as a kavalid. What makes it mukta? The answer is it's not may ain malachta. Malachta na rishona. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the same kli is a function of the tashmish of that kli. Or at least may ain tashmisho shel kli. Now you have a new tashmish that it wasn't roi to before. That's not the same kli. The kli is defined by what its function is. It's a kli maisa, a kli shimush. Now it's good for a different shimush. So Rabbi Yehuda holds part of Chadosh's Baalakan. It's a whole new kli. The kli that you were making on Erev Shabbos no longer exists in the world. Now it's a whole new kli, which didn't have a chana. That's called nolad according to Rabbi Yehuda.